Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Keshavananda Prabhuji to enlighten us on special topic Gaura Purnima on special day, that is the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I wish you all of you very happy Gaura Purnima. And Keshavananda Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think happy Gaura Purnima to all of you. Tomorrow, I don't know about America, but tomorrow is the Gaura Purnima here in India. But nevertheless, it's nice to speak on Lord Chaitanya and listen about Him. So, I'm privileged to speak on Lord Chaitanya. And it was nice when they requested me to speak on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can remember Him for some time now. I'll try to remember Lord Chaitanya, and in the process we all can remember. Okay, so let me just offer obeisances to Prabhupada, and then Om Agyanate Marandasya Gyana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshurunlitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi 5-star Deshtarine. So, when we talk about Lord Chaitanya, there are many questions. Of course, there are many questions, and there are many feelings. There are many doubts. But at the same time, there are many convictions and emotions and ecstasy. So to balance Lord Chaitanya, to balance this avatar in our minds, that needs quite amount of scriptural knowledge and a lot of association, especially in this age. Most of the work is done by Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to help us understand this incarnation, and not only understand but accept Him. So we'll talk about all these questions in details in this talk. Okay, so the first question is, who is Lord Chaitanya? That's the whole point there. Is He just a Bengali historical revolutionary figure who started a bhakti movement 520 years ago? And that's it. Is He that much? Or is he a saint who came and he preached about devotion and its intricacies, or a revolutionary, as historians see him, who distributed this bhakti to everybody without considering caste, creed, and anything else? So who is he? Well, to understand this in him, we have to first go in history. And when we understand the history, then we can understand who is he. Now, as far as history of spirituality goes, leaving aside yoga tradition, Sankhya tradition, and other traditions, I'm just talking about bhakti tradition. As far as that goes, it starts with Ramanuja. Of course, you can always argue it starts with Alvars 5,000 years ago. But of course, Alvars are included in Ramanuja system. And Ramanuja was a person who actually made these Alvars known to this world widely. After Natha Muni, Ramanuja was a person who preached and made known and made people known about these Alvars in a very philosophical way, And in a so in a way people can accept it through evidences of scriptures. Now Ramanuja, he was the first tradition, and he actually most of his works it went in refuting Mayavad, because at that time Shankaracharya system had taken India by storm. Everybody was a follower of Shankara. Everybody means everybody. There were no Jainism. Jainism was pushed out. Buddhism was thrown out of India. It was just shoveled up in some corner. And people were accepting Mayavad. So at that time, Ramanuja came and he fought, he struggled, and he established Vaishnavism. Can anybody please check? Somebody has to mute because voice is coming. So that's the point there. So Ramanuja, he started Sri Vaishnavism, and he actually established a system of Vishishta Advaita, a system of devotional philosophy. It was a devotion, but then what he did was, devotion was there before him, but the whole point was, according to Shankaracharya, they said, well, devotion is all about sentiments, there is no philosophical and logical system. So Ramanuja gave devotion a philosophical system and a logical system. So Ramanuja came, and then afterwards, after Ramanuja came around 10th and 11th, so Ramanuja came 11th century, around 11th century. And then afterwards, Madhvacharya came, who established Dvaita philosophy. He again preached about devotion, and he established devotion on Dvaita system. His philosophical system is called as Dvaita. So we need not go in details of what these systems are, but the whole point is he came and he also established devotion on very, very, very strict logic. That was his uniqueness. In his system, logic and emotions and feelings come together very intricately and very strongly. And then after Madhvacharya came, some people say Nimbarkacharya. So Madhvacharya came in 13th century. And then after Madhvacharya Nimbarkacharya. Some people say Nimbarkacharya came after Madhva. Some people say before him. There are arguments, but anyway, let's put it like this. Nimbarkacharya came, and Nimbarkacharya, he also gave his system of philosophy and devotional system, and his system was Dvaita Advaita, and he preached about devotion of God. That's what. But in his system, devotion was little more expressed in terms of rasa. He introduced the concept of rasa there. In Ramanuja and Madhva system, the concept of rasa is there, but it's hidden. They talk about liberation. Nimbarkacharya talked about rasa and mellows. Of course, he talked also about liberation, but he talked about rasa and mellows. And then after Nimbarkacharya came Vallabhacharya, who actually established his system of Shuddha Advaita, and he again gave a very devotional system, and his system was Shuddha Advaita, and he actually focused on more on spontaneity in devotion. That's what he focused on. I mean to say, Ramanuja and Madhva and Nimbarka, they were talking about, okay, there is rasa, there is liberation, but then you have to follow strict rules and regulations and a system. So Madhva's and Ramanuja's system of devotional practice was more ritualistic. There are processes, there are rules. I mean to say, rules are also there in our system, but there are elaborate rules, elaborate yagyas, elaborate processes. So externally it seems as if something ritual is going on. But Vallabhacharya came, he said, well, okay, fine, this is okay, rituals are okay, but the whole point is spontaneity of the heart. That's where we have to reach. That's more important than this external thing. So he brought devotion internal rather than basing it on external things. And then, of course, came. So Vallabhacharya came in 15th century. For 15th century. And then Mahaprabhu came. Now Mahaprabhu comes in 1486. He appears in 1486 on this day, Gaur Purnima day. And why he appears? That's the whole question. Why he's appearing after so many acharyas have established devotion, have defeated Mayavad, have given a cogent, a strong philosophical basis to devotional service, have expressed devotional sentiments in form of rasa, it's pretty much done. So why Mahaprabhu has to come? Now the whole point is, it's not done. There was something which was left, which the world didn't know, and which was the highest summit of devotional service. That was still left, the peak. I mean to say, these acharyas helped us climb the mountain, but then we couldn't really see the peak of the mountain. And we have to reach the peak to actually host the flag of devotion, to throw the flag of Kali from that mountain, and then host our flag of devotion. But then we couldn't see the peak. That's the whole point. We couldn't see what is the highest limit of devotion. That was a question for everyone, still left unanswered, for all sampradayas. Till what extent a jivatma can go or advance in devotional service? What is the extent that he can advance and he can achieve in his devotional practice with his ordinary effort and also with the extraordinary efforts? What is the end? Where is the end? Or it is endless? Or is there some end where you can perceive the endless? These are the questions, by the way. And here comes Lord Chaitanya and he says, yes, I'll give you the highest limit of devotional service. The highest limit which Jivatma can maybe not achieve, but it can appreciate. He showed us the peak. And he also showed us the way to reach that peak. He showed us the way. That's the whole point. Before that, people couldn't even see the peak of the mountain, what to achieve it. But people who even saw the peak, like Vallabha system, Nimbarka system, they said, it's impossible to achieve that. And Mahaprabhu came and he said, you can achieve it. Now there is a secret to that, how to achieve. That we will talk in a moment. But Mahaprabhu said yes. And Mahaprabhu, he actually took the best of all sampradayas. He took it. He said, well, okay, fine, I'm going to give a system. But the system will incorporate the best of all four sampradayas. Let's do it. Let's not start from scratch. That's foolishness, because people have done their work. Madhva, Ramanuja, Nimbarka, Vallabha, they have done something. And they have given us nice things. So let's take the best out of them and then develop a system on the basis of that. Because it is foolishness to reinvent the wheel and then you spend your whole time in reinventing the wheel and then you don't have any time to establish what we have come to give. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, fine. Let's take two things from each sampradaya. Two things. And then we will develop on that. So from Ramanuja Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu took two things. And the first was Ananya Bhakti. That's what he took, Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means Ananya means unalloyed devotion. This word Prabhupada uses, unalloyed devotion. That's the concept which he took from Ramanuja. I mean to say, see, all the concepts are there in all sampradayas. But each sampradaya focuses on particular aspect of devotion. Every concept has to be there in every devotional sampradaya because when you start understanding devotion, you need concepts to achieve perfection. But the whole point is every sampradaya focuses on different aspects of devotional service according to time, place, circumstance. So the whole point was he took Ananya Bhakti, but Ramanuja focuses a lot. That means unalloyed devotion. That means we are just focused on Lord Vishnu, or Vishnu Tattva, that is Krishna, or Rav, and we don't worship anybody else. No demigods. Ramanuja even said once that Ananya Bhakti means if you are on a street and you encounter a lion, and then there is a Kali temple nearby, or a Shiva temple, and the door is open, and you can just run inside and shut the door, and you'll be saved. And there is nothing else. And there's a lion and you, face to face on the street. But the lion is a little far off, and you have a time to run in the room and close the door. So what do you do? Well, Ramanujacharya says, well, encounter the lion, forget Shiva and Kali. We are not going to enter Shiva or Kali temple and take their shelter because we are devotees of Lord Vishnu. Better die. That is Ananya Bhakti. You see the point? Mahaprabhu took from him that. And the second thing he took from Ramanuja Sampradaya was Vaishnava Seva. Vaishnava Seva, Ramanuja Sampradaya focuses a lot on Vaishnava Seva. And he took that point, okay, serve devotees. From Madhva Sampradaya, Mahaprabhu took two things. And that was, first was deity worship. That is Arch Vigraha Puja. The deity worship, the worship of the form of Lord, which Madhva focuses a lot. And also Mayavad Khandanam. Ramanuja defeated Mayavad, refuted, but Madhvacharya came in 13th century, he said Ramanuja didn't do a good job of defeating Mayavad. So here I am the born enemy of Mayavad. And Madhva took Shankara's commentary and he read every statement of Shankara's commentary. And as he read them, he read it and he just flipped it upside down. That's what he was doing. That's it. That's his commentary. You take Shankara commentary and you flip it upside down. And if Shankara says Brahman is formless, you flip it upside down, you say Brahman is not formless. If Shankara says logic is supreme, you flip it upside down, you say logic is not supreme. And if Shankaracharya says devotion, bhakti sentiments are not above logic, you flip it upside down and you say devotional sentiments are above logic. So when Shankaracharya says you have to meditate on Brahman, you flip it upside down and you say you don't have to meditate on Brahman. You see the point? That's if you read Madhva commentary, you will find he just flipped it upside down. I mean to say you can put Shankara's commentary in a software. And you can give a command, flip every statement upside down. What is positive, make it negative. What is negative, make it positive. And when you get the commentary out of your computer, that will be Madhva's commentary. That's what Madhva's commentary is. It's interesting. I mean, if you get a chance, you can read his commentary, and that will be interesting. So Mahaprabhu took the second point, Mayavad Khandanam, from Madhvacharya. And of course Arch Vigraha Puja, these two points from Madhva Sampradaya. And then he took two points from Nimbark Sampradaya. And from Nimbark Sampradaya he took the point of Gopi Bhava. Gopi Bhava he took from Nimbark Sampradaya. The devotion of gopis to Lord Krishna, which is the highest of all. He took from that. And the second he took was from Nimbark Sampradaya was Parakya Bhava. Actually, Nimbark Sampradaya talks about Swakiya Bhava. Yeah. So, of course, he took Gopi Bhav in Vak Sampradaya. And also, he took Swakiya Bhav also, but then he changed it into Parakiya Bhav. The relationship of gopis and Krishna, unmarried gopis, I mean to say even married gopis, but they are related to Krishna. Of course, Nimbarka Sampradaya focuses on Swakiya Bhav, where the gopis are married to Krishna in some other dimension. But then they also talk about Parakya Bhav, and Mahaprabhu takes that. And then from Vallabha Sampradaya, he took 2 points. And the first and very important point was Pushti Marg. Pushti Marg means Vallabhacharya recommended. Devotion is all about the flow of heart and sentiments. It's not about rituals. Rituals support. Rituals are a superstructure which are required to nourish and culture our emotions for Krishna. And that's what Mahaprabhu said. When Ramananda Rai proposed Varnashrama, Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bhaiye. It's external. Mahaprabhu didn't reject it. Eho Nahi. He said, Eho Bhaiye. It is external. Varnashrama supports, but what is the main essence? An essence is devotional sentiments which a devotee carries for the Lord. But those sentiments are well established on this structure. That says a building is established on the foundation, and a structure of beams. A building is actually supported by beams. So, yeah, of course, we need a support of this whole structure, rituals and varnashrama. It is favorable. But at the same time, bhakti is independent of it. They are actually favorable for nourishing bhakti. But then what is bhakti? Then Vallabhacharya says, well, fine. That is actually spontaneous flow of emotions towards Krishna. That is bhakti. So that is pushti mark. Pushti means nourishing. Pushti means nourishing through mercy. The path of grace, that's how they translate as. So Mahaprabhu took this, the path of grace, Pushti Marg, and he gave it another name, which is called as Raghunuga Bhakti, which is actually the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave it another name, Raghunuga Bhakti. And then he tied this Raghunuga Bhakti with Vaidhi Bhakti, which actually Vallabha Sampradaya don't do. And he told us, through Vaidhi Bhakti, how through practice of Vaidhi Bhakti we enter Raghunuga Bhakti, and that is the ultimate aim of life, because through Raghunuga Bhakti we can achieve Bhava Bhakti. Otherwise we cannot. We can also, material devotion says, but then we will enter into a different mood of Aishwarya. But we will not enter the mood what Mahaprabhu came to give us. So that is, so from Vallabha Sampradaya he takes this Pushti Marg. And then second thing from Vallabha Sampradaya he takes is what he takes? I just forgot. From Vallabha Sampradaya what he takes? Pushti Marg. And the second thing he takes is I think it just missed from my mind. I'll just tell you when I go forward. But if anybody remembers they can tell me. But I think so. It's just missing from my mind, Pushti Marg. And the second thing is anyway, I just forgot it. I'll just tell you. But anyway, so these two things he takes from all sampradayas, he combines them, and he makes his own philosophy, which is called Chinte Bheda Vitat, and then he develops on them and gives higher concepts of the bhava of Radharani. That was his concept. Radha is the highest pinnacle of devotion. That was the question. Where is the peak? Now the peak can be found in the personality of Radha. The ultimate limit of devotion. Radhara Mahima Prema Rasasima Kemone Janayate Yadi Gaur Na Hoyate Tabuki Hoyate Kemone Dharitamte. So one of the singers of Lord Chaitanya, personal singer, Vasudev Ghosh, he sings this song. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not there, then who would have told us who is Radha? And what is her love? And how her love is super excellent, and it is the limit of the limitless. It's the highest. No, nobody can surpass her love. And a jivatma can achieve or at least appreciate her love. Not exactly achieve, but appreciate her love. And also in certain cases, achieve it, but in a very indirect way. How to do that, I'll talk in a few moments. But that's what Mahaprabhu gave us, the limit of devotion, the highest limit, Radha's love. He showed this is the greatest devotee of Lord. And if we follow her path of devotion, if we do devotion like her, try to do, then we will follow in her footsteps and we can easily attain Krishna. And that's what Mahaprabhu gave. So Mahaprabhu gave this concept of Radha's Prem, and he also gave this concept of Madhure Bhav, because Radha's love for Krishna is Madhure. Now here is the point, I mean to say, other Acharyas, previous Acharyas, they talked about devotion, but they didn't really touch upon the subject of Madhure Bhav. Now, if you read the history of Ramanuja, Madhava, Nimbark, Vallabh, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will see this. You will see Mahaprabhu planned it like that. We know Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and he planned his coming, his avatar into this material world, and he prepared his coming through all the acharyas. And that's why he asked every one of the acharyas to reveal a particular sentiment in this world and stop there. So if you read Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Navdeep Mahatmaya, you will see that Ramanuja came to Navdeep, Madhva came to Navdeep, and they actually met Mahaprabhu. I mean to say, you might say 13th and 11th century, Mahaprabhu was not there. But at the same time, Mahaprabhu revealed himself in the meditation in Navdeep. And Mahaprabhu, So Mahaprabhu gave his teachings to Ramanuja and Madhva, but then Mahaprabhu also said, well, you keep these teachings with you yourself, when I will come, I will reveal them, you do what you are asked. So Madhva and Ramanuja, they actually focused on Das Seras. And then comes along Vallabhacharya. He focused on Sakhya Ras more. Many of the saints in Vallabh Sampradaya, they are Sakhya Bhav, Kumbhandas, and then other Ashtachap. Nimbarkacharya, he then actually developed it to Vatsalya Ras and some glimpses of Madhura Ras. And then Mahaprabhu comes along, he just focuses on Madhura Ras. And then he says, all of the rasas, Dasya, Sakhe, Vatsalya, they are there to serve Madhura Ras in Vrindavan. That's the concept he brought. They are there, yes, we know they are there, but then they are there to serve the Madhura Ras. That's what he said. So this is a historical progression of philosophies and of rasa, and it finds its ultimate pinnacle in Lord Chaitanya's avatar. You see the point. Mahaprabhu gives a finishing touch on that historical progression and takes it to the highest limit. That's why Mahaprabhu was required. His avatar was required. And of course, and also Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about Madhvacharya, he actually gave the seed of devotion. Ramanuja, by his system of devotion, he blossomed it. And then Nimbarkacharya blossomed it a little more. Nimbarkacharya made it into a small plant. And then Vallabha system nourished that plant more and made it into a shrub. And then Mahaprabhu came and he actually nourished it, took care of it, and he made this shrub into a big tree and with fruits. That's how it goes. The whole idea is Madhvacharya actually gave the concept of liberation. Now before him, of course, Ramanacharya came before him, but then the Ramanacharya, he actually developed on the concept of liberation, and he gave a little insight into rasa of devotional service. And he said, well, well, you can attain liberation through rasa. And then Bhakacharya came and then he said, well, okay, that's fine. But then the rasa which you have, it is not so developed, it is not so explained in Ramanuja and Madhva system. So I'm going to explain it, what's rasa all about. So he explained rasa. And then Vallabhacharya came, he said, well, okay, Nimbacharya explained rasa, but then the whole point is, how do you experience that rasa? And Vallabhacharya says about Pushtimar. And then Madhva, and then Lord Chaitanya came, he says, okay, you can experience rasa, but to what limit it can go? Let's find the end of it. And then Mahaprabhu gave his system. So that's why Mahaprabhu was required to take the philosophy of devotion and to take the rasa of devotion and to take the sentiments of devotion to the ultimate level and then give it to us. I mean to say, you see the point, when Ramanuja was there, people were far more civilized than what we are today. Far more cultured than what we are today. Far more sensible and wise than what we are today. Now we are like animals in this age, out of control. We are savages, we are barbarians. We have no idea what is dharma. So Prabhupada even says, Mahaprabhu has given his system to those people who have not even heard the word dharma. What to say of understanding and practicing it? So at Ramanujara's time, that was like around 11th century, that is around 900 years back, people were far more people, you know, that's the whole point. They were humans. And with Madhvar, Nimbak, Vallabha, and now today, we are gradually, we have become animals, we have become atheists. So the whole point is, so you see the point, a philosophical understanding and the understanding of rasa is actually exponentially increasing. The graph is going up with all the preceding acharyas, and it comes to a summit, the highest level with Lord Chaitanya, of the philosophical explanation and the rasa and the sentiments. But the whole point is, on the other end, the graph of people and the culture and the values is going down. And it comes to a very low level, even negative, like animals. So here's the problem. Mahaprabhu takes the system to the highest limit, but then he has to give this system to the lowest people who have no understanding. Now, how to do it? And he did it. That's why he is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. He's called the most merciful incarnation because he did it. He was successful. He was successful. And the highest to the lowest, highest system to the lowest of people. He distributed love of God even to chandalas. What's that all about? How do you do that? Love of God, Brahmara Durlabha Prem Sabakara Jache. What was so rare for Brahma and Shiva, he just freely gave it to chandalas. And who are these chandalas? These are we. Don't think we are not chandalas. We are chandalas. It's not a person who is working in that street, in a corner, in that drain. And we are sitting in a hotel in our fashioned clothes. And we are chandalas. Chandala means who is out of Vedic system. Who is born out of lust. Who has not undergone any samskaras. And is always thinking of sex and envy. And have no idea what scriptures want from us. He's not trained in dharma. He's out of Vedic system. That is chandalas. And he has given prema to us. See, at least understanding of it. And the way to achieve it. All over the world. So that's why Mahaprabhu has to come. And that is why Mahaprabhu is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. So he gave an understanding of Srimati Radharani's love, which is beyond all conceptions, mundane conceptions of dharma, and also to people like us. Now, the whole point is, how did Mahaprabhu give it to us? Now, answering this question will also answer the question, why is called Namo Mahapataniyaya? That's the whole point. Now, we just talked why this incarnation was necessary. And I told it was necessary to bring the philosophical basis of devotional service to the highest limit, to bring the rasa to this highest limit, and to bring the sentiments of devotion to a deeper deeper layers, and give the and show us the peak of the mountain. That's why this to actually complete a historical progression of devotion. Hegelian system, isn't it? The philosopher Hegel, he said historical progression is to be finalized and formed in perfection of society, perfection of culture, perfection of people. And Nietzsche said, yes, the whole history is there to find a Uberman, a Superman, a perfect man. Now Mahaprabhu did it. Let's say that. Mahaprabhu actually finalized the historical progression and took it to the ultimate level of the historical position of devotional service. So, but then now here is the point. Mahaprabhu is called, now the question comes, Mahaprabhu is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. Why? Why is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya? Of course, one reason is because he showed the highest limit of devotion. That's one reason. But the main thing is he's called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. I mean to say, if you say he showed the highest limit of devotion, he can be called as a philosopher, the greatest philosopher, greatest acharya. But then he's also, the adjective used is he's a most magnanimous philosopher. Why? Because he gave this philosophy to people. He gave a system, practical system to achieve the highest thing. He doesn't say the highest limit is there. You know, you see the peak? Yes, I see the peak. Okay, see, stand here and see the peak, click a photograph, go back. No. He said you can go on the top and I'll show you the way. And that's why he's called Namo Mahavadaniya. Each one of us who are chandalas, I mean to say, at least me, who is absolute nonsense crap, if we can understand Lord Chaitanya and his teachings, we can attain the highest thing in this very life. That's what Prabhupada says. But the whole point is, what is his teaching all about? What system he gave so that we can reach the highest level, so that we can actually appreciate, at least see the highest limit of devotion, Srimati Radharani's devotion, and then achieve it. So in other words, why he is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya? So he is called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. He is the most merciful incarnation because he gave a path on which we can walk and achieve the highest limit. Now, what is that path? And that path, Mahaprabhu explains, that path is, you can understand that path if you understand the personality of Lord Chaitanya. That's the whole point. Because he himself followed on the path. He showed the path, he followed it as a good teacher does. He came to teach. Show us the path and teach how to walk on that path. And he came and he said, okay, I'll show you. And what he was doing, that's what we have to understand. What he was doing. Prabhupada says, do am as doing. And the same thing, what Prabhupada was doing. He was doing what Nitin Prabhu was doing. What Nitin Prabhu was doing, what Mahaprabhu was doing. Because they were all acting to teach people. So what he was doing? If you understand that question, then you can understand what he came to give us. And if you understand that question, then you can understand how merciful he is. That is why he is called as Namo Mahavadaniya. So what he was doing? Well, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita properly, if you read Ante Leela, Mathe Leela, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavata, especially Chaitanya Charitamrita, you will know what he was doing. In the daytime he was preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. In the night he was weeping and weeping and weeping and crying for Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. listening about Krishna. In one line, that's the answer what he was doing. In the daytime, he was feeling separation from the Lord. In the daytime, he was serving people by making them understand and inspiring them to do devotion. In the nighttime, he was Krishna by offering him the mood of separation or love and separation. That's what he was doing. It's as simple as that, but that needs explanation. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he was doing, he was not just sitting in a place and doing nothing. That was not his way. He actually was interested in bringing a revolution. In fact, historical history books consider him as a revolutionary figure who brought revolution in Bengal and in devotional realm. And he was a revolutionary. That's what he was doing. He was interested to change the system. He was interested to make the world upside down and stop this tsunami of Kali and actually bring people to the highest level of devotion. That's what his aim was. It was a pretty lofty aim, which was impossible to achieve. But Lord Chaitanya, we know, he is Krishna himself, he can do anything. But the whole point is, he can do anything, but the whole point is, he has to do it in such a way so that we can follow. That's the whole point. And that is the difficult part. So the first thing what he was doing, let's leave preaching, let's leave what he was doing in the night, offering separation. The first thing he was doing, he was interested in bringing revolution. And that's why he was dancing on streets. He was not dancing on streets because he was mad. Because he has nothing to do. He has some extra time. Because he was just a stupid person who is out of control and who can do anything he likes. No. He wanted to bring a mass revolution. That's why he was doing kirtanas on the streets with his associates. And that was pretty revolutionary at that time. You know why? Because you have to understand how this was revolution when you are in 15th century. You can't, today you might not appreciate it, but when you are in 15th century, if you go back, at that time it was a big, 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 big thing. It was such a big thing that people wanted to kill associates of Lord Chaitanya. They were making fun of Lord Chaitanya. Because at that time, this was a revolution. Nobody was chanting and dancing on the names of Lord Krishna. In a mass congregation, that's the whole point. With musical instruments. Devotion was, okay, fine, you can be in your temple, you can sing some solo bhajans, and then you have to read Bhagavatam and do your worship of deity, that's all. Offer something. But this kind of thing, you know, you get lakhs of people and then you are doing kirtans and on the streets. And then you're begging people to chant the names of God, especially chanting the names loudly. That was a big thing at that time, 15th century. 15th century, there were Brahmanas and there were Vedic scholars. And it was not allowed to speak any mantra openly. Mantra was to be kept secret. But here comes Mahaprabhu, he says, well, okay, let's chant. And you also chant and hear and this and that and that and that. Well, that was a revolution. And then he was initiating Shudras. He totally went against the caste system. He actually abolished it. His disciples were from all walks of life. They were Shudras, they were Chandalas, they were robbers, they were dacoits, they were Muslims. From all walks of life. It was unseen and unheard. That's what he was doing. He was interested to bring a revolution. That's what he wanted. He was opposed. He was threatened. His associates were threatened to be murdered. His movement had a great resistance in the society. But they did it, in spite of all these facts. So that's what first thing he was doing. He wanted to bring a revolution. And the second thing he was doing was he wanted to educate people. You see the point? That's what he was preaching. He asked his acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, to write books and then teach. He, Rupa Goswami, opened a school in Vrindavan. So that's what he was doing. He was educating people. He was himself preaching everybody in the morning, in the daytime. And then he showed the way to achieve, way to appreciate Radharani's love. And he said, well, okay, fine, the way to appreciate Radharani's love and the way to achieve it. I mean to say, so when we say achieving Radharani's love, it simply means appreciating her love. Appreciating her love is like achieving her love from as far as Jeevatma goes. Even if you can appreciate Radharani's love, that is beyond all achievements. And it is equal to saying you have actually achieved it. Even if you simply can understand something about it. Because that in itself is the rarest of thing. So the third thing which he was doing was, he was feeling separation from Lord Krishna. And because he was feeling separation, to actually relieve that separation, he was chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna mantra. So he taught us how to actually appreciate and reach that limit on the peak of mountain. How to do that? He said, cry, that's all. Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion, cry for Lord Krishna. Prabhupada says in this famous lecture, come on, I mean to say, we have all forgotten that. Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna mantra is a crying of a child for his mother. That's in America. When Prabhupada started the movement, one of the initial lectures, and he brings the concept right head on. On the radio, this lecture went on the radio. It's a cry of the child for mother. Now what's that? That is Mahaprabhu. That's what he was doing in the night. He was crying. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, learn this small secret to cry for Lord Krishna. But the whole point is to cry for Lord. That's the most difficult part. And for that, Mahaprabhu gave a system of Vaidhi Bhakti and Raghunaga Bhakti, which is explained in Nectar of Devotion. That's there. But the whole point is, the third thing he was teaching us, how to cry. The whole point of crying is to actually offer the mood of separation to Lord Krishna. Now Lord Krishna says, you know, so many people in history, they have offered so many prayers to me. So many people in the history, they have offered so many sacrifices to me. But nobody has offered tears to me. And especially the tears of separation from me. I want that. I want that. That's the perfection of life. That's what God wants. Mahaprabhu said that's what he wants. That's what we are offering him. You can offer him fruits and flowers, patram pushpam phalam to him. That's what Krishna says. But Lord Chaitanya says, well, that's enough. You know, I've got a lot of flowers, a lot of fruits. It's all there and it's all getting... My abode is full of flowers and fruits and water, and it's there. It's actually stinking and decaying. it's a joke, by the way. But I want something which nobody else has given. I've got bored of that. I want your tears. I want your separation from me. And Mahaprabhu actually gave evidence for that. Mahaprabhu says, yeah, that's what Krishna wants. Why? Because when Krishna was doing Ras Leela, he left gopis in between. And Mahaprabhu said, why did he leave them? And then he said, well, he left them because he wanted to see their tears and the love and separation. That's what he enjoys the most. And these three things Mahaprabhu was doing, he was interested in bringing revolution, and the second thing, he was educating, and the third thing is, he was crying in love and separation. He was offering his love and separation to Krishna. Now, this is what we have to do. He's a teacher. He's an acharya. And he's acting in a capacity of a devotee. And he wants us to follow him in our own capacity. That's the whole point, but to follow him. And this is what we have to do. And that's why he's called Namo Mahavadanya. If we do these three things, we will be able to achieve Radharani's love. To see it, to understand it, to appreciate it, and achieve it. And that is the perfection of life. That is the highest limit of devotion. That's the gift which Mahaprabhu has come to give us. That's why it's called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. He's given the process what to do. And the process is these three things. Now, the process is not just chanting Hare Krishna and Four Regulative Principles. That's not the whole process. That is the foundation of the process. Yes, Prabhupada says, chant 16 rounds and Four Regulative Principles. Yes, you do that. And then you will gradually understand devotion. Prabhupada says that. That is a foundation. I mean to say, even if you don't chant 16 rounds and follow Four Regulative Principles, forget everything. That's a cement, that's a process. And then Prabhupada says, you keep on doing that and then you will understand Krishna slowly and gradually. You will increase in your realization. Throughout the purpose, Prabhupada writes that. And then you'll become Uttama Adhikari. And then so many prayers will automatically come from your heart. So what Mahaprabhu was doing, if we start doing that if, and then we can, that is a process, and then we can actually understand how he is Namo Mahavadaniyaya, because we'll be able to get a glimpse of the highest limit of devotion. So what we have to do? We must try to assist Mahaprabhu in bringing a revolution in the entire world. That's what he was assisting. That's what he wanted. That's what Prabhupada was doing. That's what Mahabhakti Santa was doing. That's why they are there and we are we. We have to assist them to bring a revolution. That revolutionary spirit has to be there. And we have to educate people by preaching. We have to actually educate them, not just preach, not just give lectures. That's the whole point. We give them lectures, but then the whole point is that education is a little different thing. It's a systematic spiritual training. So by the way, Prabhupada's ISKCON manifesto, the first point is to educate people at large in spiritual education. Prabhupada says that. In the manifesto of ISKCON, 7 or 9 points, whatever. So that is education, and the third point is that is something external service, and then there's an internal service which Mahaprabhu is teaching to develop love and separation from Krishna, to develop those emotions. So in the process of doing something external, we should not forget that there's an internal work to do also. And that is to develop our emotions and to develop love and separation. So Prabhupada says, there's no question of separation without attachment to Lord Krishna. And there's no question of attachment without doing a substantial amount of service to him. So that's where Mahaprabhu says your devotion starts. Serve him under some guidance with the aim of getting attached to the person whom you're serving. That's very important. Kriti sade bhavet sade sade bhava sadhana vidha. That's what is a definition of Vaidhi Bhakti. You practice, you serve Krishna with the aim to become attached to Krishna. Because if you forget the aim, then you can keep on serving him and you will not become attached to him. Because you don't want it. If you don't want it, you don't get it. So if you serve Krishna for money, you get money. If you serve Krishna for fame, you get fame. If you serve Krishna just for serving him, you get nothing. You just serve him, that's all. Because you're serving in mode of ignorance. You're just serving him mechanically. But you have to have some aim. The aim of serving is to become attached to him, and then you become attached to the person whom you're serving. That you have to keep in mind. And then you become attached, and the attachment condenses bhava santaran atma. Then that attachment converts itself into... then it will lead to separation. The love and separation. And then you can offer it to the Lord Krishna, to Lord Krishna, in the form of your tears while you are chanting. That is the perfection of life. That, when you can do that, when you can offer this love and separation in the form of tears to Lord Krishna, gradually through this process, then then he will give you a glimpse of Radharani's love for Lord Krishna, the highest limit, and the gift which he has come to give. And then we will be able to really appreciate, yes, this is Namo Mahavadaniyaya, who has given this gift to a person like me, who is Chandala. So this is what Mahaprabhu was doing, and we are supposed to do that. So it's called Namo Mahavadaniyaya. And tomorrow, or today, whatever, Gaur Purnima, we can pray to him. Oh my Lord Chaitanya, please help me appreciate your contribution, your incarnation, what you have done, and how you have helped us to achieve the highest limit. You showed us the path, give us the energy and the power and the blessings to walk on this path and understand it and imbibe it, and not just watch standing on some footpath and watch and just standing there and miss the whole point. So give us energy, give us time, give us willpower to accept your gift. You are Namo Mahavadaniyaya, but we don't even have the power to accept it. So give us that power. This is our prayer to Lord Chaitanya, and then the full moon of love will also rise in our hearts, and our life will be perfect. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Anybody wants to ask any other question, most welcome. Right. There are so many things to talk about Lord Chaitanya. I could have talked about Lord Chaitanya from different angles, but this was nice. I gave some philosophical perspective, and I felt nice. Yeah. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, very, very wonderful glorification of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. You remember towards the end you were talking about about three points. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you repeat what those three points?
Yes, three points. What Lord Chaitanya was doing, that's the whole point?
I think, I'm not sure even.
Okay, fine. So Lord Chaitanya was doing, he was interested in three things: revolution, education, and separation. So revolution and education, those are something externally. Externally, we have to assist Mahaprabhu in bringing a revolution in this world and educating people. And internally, it's separation that we have to cultivate inside. And if we can do that, then we are following Lord Chaitanya. That's what is the point.
Mm-hmm. And you also said that to come to the highest point, the 16 realms and the regulative principles, that's just foundational. But beyond that, we have to do what?
Beyond that, you chant Hare Krishna, get the power, follow regulative principles, be pure, and then participate in bringing a revolution in this world. Assist Mahaprabhu to bring revolution in this world. Fight. Revolution means, just like Mahaprabhu was fighting against all bad concepts through Acharyas, and then he was doing street kirtans to actually give these holy names to people who didn't want to hear, is Muslims who closed their ears. That revolutionary spirit. Get the power from this. Go out in this world and try to bring a revolution. Try to help Mahaprabhu change people and fight and change the ideas, and then fight atheism, establish Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave so many programs for that. And if you cannot do it personally, then help those who are trying to bring a revolution. Help them. And the second thing is education. So it's not a matter of giving lectures. It's a matter of educating people like universities are doing. Universities
like what?
Are... Mm-hmm. So universities, academic universities, all this modern education, they have opened universities where a person goes in and comes out as an
as a convinced atheist. You see the point, all these universities and modern education, they are providing a logical basis to the to atheism. And when a person goes into college, as soon as, and so by the time he comes out, mostly he's either confused by logics, and he becomes disconnected with religion because he's not convinced religion is bad and this and that and that and that. So why? Because those people, they have established a system of systematic education. If there was no systematic education, then the world would have been very different. But then people become physicists, chemists, mathematicians, and they're convinced this is logic, this is everything, God is not there, and the whole philosophical the philosophical mood which is there in modern education, which is actually given by all the Western philosophers like Nietzsche, Schopenhauer, Hegel, and all this whole basis of modern education, the whole understanding of modern education, that's there, and the person gets that, and he becomes confused. He either becomes atheist or he becomes agnostic at best. But atheist, forget it. Religion, forget it. So that's what you have to do. We have to establish a system of education. Mahaprabhu did that through Jiva Goswami. He asked him to write books. He asked him to write sandarbhas. A very logical system to establish bhakti. So that's what we should be doing. Prabhupada wanted that. And Prabhupada wanted colleges. Prabhupada wanted courses. And okay, fine. So wherever we are preaching, preach in a fashion that you educate people systematically. So it should not be just random lectures. Then it doesn't help. Random lectures also okay sometimes, because it is nice to hear some random things, because it helps. It actually enlivens us. But the whole system is in that process. This process should not be lost, which Mahaprabhu wanted actually through Rupa Goswami. He asked Rupa Goswami to write a book on devotion. He asked Sanatan Goswami to write a book on culture and etiquette. He asked Jiva Goswami to write a book on philosophical systems. Rupa Goswami asked them. So they were doing all these things. So if you read Rupa Goswami books, it is very systematic. All of his books, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, are very systematic. So participate in educating people. That's what we have to do. And the third thing is internal thing. We have to. We don't have to forget our aim is love with separation. Because generally in this external preaching and educating and revolution and whatever, we just forget our own internal cultivation. And that we have to give time to ourselves also. And try to serve Krishna with the aim of attachment and ending up in love and separation. How to do that? That Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you read, you will understand. But we have to focus on doing that internally in our heart. Otherwise, it will never happen. So we have to do. He has given the path, we have to walk. So that's what we have to be doing now. Besides chanting and following regulative principles. Chanting and regulative principles, that will give the power to do this. They are our generator. That's our genie box. Without them, we are zero. That chanting 16 rounds at 400 pencils. Prabhupada gave us this generator to us. Take this generator, generate energy, and then assist this mission of Lord Chaitanya. And do these three things, and perfect your life. That's what is the whole understanding.
It seems that... Thank you, that was very nice. Explanation. Seems like though for the systematic education, it seems like, you know, we would have to find a way to attract people to a Vaishnav school, actually. Otherwise, it would always be just random lectures, you know?
See, the whole point is, for giving systematic education, you should have a college, an institute, which actually I'm trying to build it up.
Yes, Punjab. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, So
that's the whole point. That's what Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada wanted it. It didn't happen somehow in the history of ISKCON. There were many turmoils, and that's okay. I mean, to say in this modern world, it's very unpredictable. But now we should be trying, we should try to do it, because that is what Mahaprabhu wanted, and that's what we are missing. And that's why many of the devotees in our movement, they are not well trained. They know, but they do not know. They understand, but they do not understand. It's so foggy and cloudy. We have to help people. So that's how it goes. So anyway, let's try our best. But the whole point is, first the concept has to come. First the people have to appreciate this concept that we need these training institutes. Otherwise, it will never happen. It will never going to happen.
That institute in Belgium, I believe, is that something like what we're talking about?
Yeah. It is there, but actually most of it now, it is so more of it, it is a farmhouse now. That institute is not so much functional now as it was functional before. It's not so active. They started, so there is one college also, Rupanuga College in this Kansas, which was started by Danveer Maharaj. He tried it, but somehow at the present time it's not so functional. Danveer Maharaj. You can go on net and you can see Rupanuga Vedic College. Danveer Maharaj. People appreciate it, a few of them, and they try it. And of course, yeah, it's difficult to do. But the whole point is, we have to make this point appreciable to each and every devotee, because that's what Mahaprabhu wanted. Because people don't see Mahaprabhu in this way. That's the whole point. People see Mahaprabhu in a way of doing kirtans, and that's it, isn't it? I mean, doing kirtans and ecstasy and this, that's okay. But the whole point, he's not called the most merciful incarnation because he's chanting in ecstasy. That's not the whole point. I mean to say, many Alvars were chanting in ecstasy, Ramanujacharya was chanting in ecstasy, and why he's called Namo, that's a big title, the most merciful incarnation. I mean to say, not among all Jivas he's most merciful. Among all Vishnu Tattvas, he's most merciful. He's even more merciful than Ram and Krishna. Now that's a big thing to call an incarnation like that. So he was doing something special which we have to appreciate and which we have to follow. So it was not just dancing in ecstasy and that's it. No. He was trying to bring a revolution through his dance. That's the whole spirit behind that. He was trying to educate people how to achieve this state. What I'm showing you, you have to achieve it. It doesn't come by itself. And you can't even imitate it. You can't do that. Because that's a different level of consciousness. Now, how to achieve this? That Mahaprabhu says. So we perceive Mahaprabhu in a very different way, a Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In this way, behind that dance we see revolution. Behind that preaching we see education. Behind that chanting and devotion, we see love in separation. And then we can actually appreciate his gift. And then devotees will appreciate, and then things will work on. Otherwise, it will be chaos. Devotees don't advance. And that's what God Purnima is all about, to appreciate Mahaprabhu as he was. So yeah, that's it.
That was wonderful, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, Hare Krishna. So
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Gurudevki ji. Such a nectarian class, Prabhuji. How sincerely you are explaining Sisi Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji's Leela. Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam to your Seva. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your valuable assistance.
Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much we can end here then.
No,
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Very, very wonderful class with so many nice points and the philosophical base of Mahaprabhu's work, the what he did for and what we lack and how we have to follow that. On this nice day, we are very fortunate to hear you. Even though you're not well, we could make it out from your voice.
I should have cancelled
the class, but it was so exciting to speak to Mahaprabhu, so I thought, you know, so when they requested, I thought, that's great, you know. It's if you speak on Mahaprabhu, it's enlightening for all of us.
So anyway, I'm thankful to the coordinators that they asked me to speak on Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanwat. Prabhuji, I heard that you are... Hare Krishna, can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, Prabhuji, you just mentioned that you are trying to start some training institute and all that. Is there any way to know more details about it? So we can...
We can contribute
something...
So actually, you can actually mail us at info@badrikashram.com.
Can you repeat that info?
I will also send you the mail, but you can also write it. It is like info. It's simple. Info at the rate, and then Badrika Ashram, B-A-D-R-I, Badrika, K-A, S-H, R-A-M.
info@badrikaashram.com.
This is the mail. So if you send the mail, then we will send you all the necessary information there. info@badrikaashram.com. I think this is the email which is there, which we have.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. It's a wonderful class. I appreciate it so much.
Anyway, thank you for listening. So I'll just repeat the spelling. info@badrikaashram.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, bro. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanwad.
I think let's end up here. Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, once again for such a beautiful class. And I wish you everybody happy Gaura Purnima. And we would like to end the call here, offering obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas who assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpataro Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Jayatara Pavani Ananta Koti Vaishnava Shila Prabha.
Happy Gaura Purnima to everybody. Happy Gaura Purnima.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Happy Gaura Purnima to everybody. All of you from me.
Hare Krishna.